This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, and I'm joined by Dashan Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So in our story today, we're wondering, did you know that when it comes to news around the world, men are represented up to 6 times more than women? So a study done across 6 different English-speaking countries shows that women are consistently underrepresented in journalism, both in the newsroom and in news coverage itself. So we're going to look at the results of the report and link them to Malaysia, as well as discuss some of the potential solutions to this issue.
Yes, and as always, we want to know what you think. So today we are asking you, what was the last Malaysian news story you recall? You recall reading or watching that was about or featured a woman? So if you'd like to send us your thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Alternatively, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899.
That's right. So just think of the last time you scroll through the daily news headlines, or, you know, if you're a traditionalist, picked up a newspaper. Can you recall how many of them featured a woman's voice, either as an expert or a commentator, or even as a protagonist? So you might be surprised to find out that it's a lot less common than you realize.
And this is exactly what a report called The Missing Perspectives of Women in News discovered. So the report came out late last month and was commissioned by the Gates Foundation and is hosted by the International Women's Media Foundation. So the researchers of the report spent 5 months last year looking at news trends in 6 English-speaking countries, and those are India, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, the UK, and the US. So they also studied academic literature and societal norms, as well as analysed millions of news stories. So the study looked at 2 aspects. One is the representation of women in journalism itself, and the other is the representation of women's voices in news coverage. And unfortunately, the results are quite disappointing. Pointing across the board.
So when it comes to newsrooms globally, the study found that women only make up 39% of journalists, despite being half of the population. This number drops even more when you look at leadership positions in journalism. Only a quarter, or 26% of leaders in the field of journalism, are women.
Yes, and when it comes to whose voices are heard, you know, most often in the news coverage, that is meaning who is being quoted as experts or who is featured as the main person in a news story, women are lagging pretty far behind as well. So the study found that when it comes to news coverage featuring women as the main focus or the quote-unquote protagonist, only 15 to 30% of the news stories in those 6 countries featured women. And when it comes to how often women are quoted as experts in the news, it's only between 14 to 29%. Again, only about one third at most.
Yes, and this drops even further when you look at the high-profile news genres like politics or economy. In politics, men's voices are featured up to 7 times more than women. And in economic stories, it can be up to 31 times more.
Yeah, so while the Gates Foundation study did not include Malaysia, there have been several studies done on gender representation in journalism that we can draw on to get an idea of the current media landscape here. So a 2015 report called Media and Gender in Malaysia by the International Federation of Journalists found, for instance, that while there was gender equality in Malaysian media organisations at the junior levels, women tended to drop off as you moved up the ladder. So among the media practitioners surveyed, about one third of men held senior positions compared to less than a quarter of women. The same study also found that the percentage of women appearing in news as sources or experts was estimated to be about 30% at most. And interestingly, most Malaysian journalists who were surveyed in the report agreed that the depiction of women in the media tended to fall into the established stereotypes, so as family figures, as victims, or as sexual objects.
Yes, and another local study conducted last year by the KRYSS Network and the Institute of Journalists Malaysia called Voice, Visibility and Influence, they spoke to a range of Malaysian female media practitioners, and the report found that when women were covered in the media, they tend to either be for special features focusing on women, or they tend to be centred on violence and sensationalism. So for example, coverage centred on domestic violence, sexual harassment, sexism and violence, and in particular sexual violence.
Yeah, I guess, you know, just looking at your own experiences, you know, have you come across any news stories recently that foregrounded women, you know, and, you know, thinking back, you know, were they negative or were they positive?
I think, okay, just thinking when we were talking about doing this story for today, right, I thought back about what I saw this morning when I opened the main page of one of our local English dailies here. And I remember one of the first things I saw on the main page was about a woman who drowned and died. And I think that, you know, after reading that news and then coming into office and then reading about this report, it sort of clicked that, that's right. You know, one of the main things that highlighted women on the landing page of that website was about a woman as a victim, whereas the rest were talking about news stories that were sort of not really focusing on either men or women.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. So I was just scrolling through another English daily and most of it is, I guess, about men or not specifically, you know, about a particular gender or anything like that. But like something prominent that popped up like about a woman was again about the story about Nora Ann and how the inquest into her death has concluded and things like that. So again, it is about these big, you know, like sensational in a sense, stories.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you guys that, you know, when you go to these landing pages, it tends to be the sensational stories, right? But for me, I've not really realized a gendered component to it. And maybe it's just because I'm not aware of it. Mm. But if it's about death, definitely they're going to put it there because that's the clickbait or, you know, some horrible accident or things like that. That's for the news landing pages. But on a more positive note for me, when I was looking, I like to read The Guardian, for example. And today it was a lot about, it was kind of a mixed one with Biden and Kamala Harris being named, you know, Times People of the Year. So those were the kind of positive stories that I was reading. And because I read a lot of environmental stuff, there was a lot about, maybe it's just the, you know, the stuff I read and that's what's being fed back to me, you know.
I was thinking about that as well, because for us, right, we tend to go looking for specific stories as well. Exactly. Certain stories attract us. And so I find that I do read a lot of news articles that feature women or that have women as their experts. And that might just be because of what I prefer to read.
Oh, the algorithms are working that way. Yeah, so I guess to help us, you know, dive further into this missing perspectives of women in news report that was recently released, we have on the line Ding Joanne, who is an advisor with the Centre for Independent Journalism, Malaysia. And thanks so much for joining us, Joanne. So this report was carried out across 6 different countries, and the findings are fairly consistent that across the board, there is a lack of gender balance when it comes to both female representation in journalism and female voices in news coverage. Does this surprise you?
I think it certainly surprised the researchers. I think historically there has always been a greater representation of men than women in the media. But I think they expected that there would be some progress, you know, if you look over the years. But unfortunately, in all 6 countries, whether Global South, Global North, Democratic, Authoritarian, more secular, more traditional, the results were that it has stagnated. You know, more men produce the news, more men feature overwhelmingly more in the news, more men consume the news. So I think I was also a little bit disappointed when I first saw the results that so little progress has been made, despite this issue having been highlighted in every decade, you know, for the last few decades, but things still seem to be the same.
And before we get into the specifics of the results, how do you think Malaysia would fare in this regard?
I do not think that Malaysia would fare any better than any of the countries featured on this report. I mean, we were ranked 104th out of 153 on the 2020 World Gender Gap Index, mainly because we did very poorly in terms of economic participation and political empowerment. As an example, I looked at the headlines and thumbnails yesterday for 4 or 5 of the major news media outlets. And I did expect to find men featured more prominently. But like the researchers of this report, I was rather alarmed at the extent in which this occurred. So out of the 30 or so articles that were on the front page or on the front, you know, main page when you go onto the online site, they featured men prominently saying and doing things from the IGP to the DG of Health to the Sultan of Selangor and Perak to the Perak MB to Senate President or the Jeram rep or the Jaya Grocer or the Penang Chief Minister. There was even a male academic winning a prestigious scientific award and a Belgium soccer manager being quoted. But there were only 3 articles that I saw yesterday that featured women prominently. One of an Indian actress found dead in a hotel room. Another about a pregnant woman in Malaysia found dead in a river. and a third about the inquest into the death of Nora Quarin. So there's this underlines the point that when women are featured prominently in the news, they are often portrayed either as victims or perpetrators of crime, or in the art section, or as celebrities or family figures. And there was actually a January 2020 report by Chris Network on media and gender that came to similar conclusions. So I think if we do a similar study in Malaysia, which we should, I think it would reveal great biases as well in the Malaysian media.
All right, so let's dive into this global report itself. Well, first we'll look at the newsroom and the media aspect. So according to the report, globally, women only make up 39% of journalists, and even less when it comes to journalism leadership, which is only 26%. So could you contextualize what this means overall for the practice of journalism as a field?
The most recent data I could find on representation of women in newsrooms in Malaysia is a 2015 report by the International Federation of Journalists on Media and Gender. And it made, I think, similar conclusions that there are many women journalists on the ground, but women are less well represented in senior positions. So most decision makers in the media are men and media owners as well. So a male-dominated workplace will result in a male-dominated workplace culture. So in the IFJ report, women journalists talked about still facing stereotypical attitudes, such as the perception that women cannot work as camera operators because they cannot cover heavy equipment, or women cannot do crime beats because they cannot do late night shifts, or they cannot have difficulty dealing with the police or those accused of crimes. Or then there's the other stereotype of, women journalists being sent on assignments where they are expected to flirt with their interviewees to get good stories. Well, it's actually very important for any workplace to be more gender balanced, and especially important in newsrooms, since decisions are made there about who gets featured in the news. So if we are to see better representation of women in the news, more consumption of news by women, and a more positive impact towards gender equality in society, women need to be included and involved at every stage of the life cycle of the news story. That means not just on the ground, but also in positions of authority. And it's not just about the numbers. So the research found that even though some newsrooms were approaching the 30% mark for women in senior positions, sometimes there is still a male-dominated culture that is entrenched. So it's about also fostering a work culture that values gender equality and a newsroom that actively promotes this. So this does involve a fundamental paradigm shift compared perhaps to the status quo, where women are often either unintentionally forgotten or even deliberately ignored when it comes to news coverage.
Now, the other aspect the report covers is the gender imbalance in who is featured in the news. So in the 6 countries studied, only 15 to 30% of the news was about women. So when it comes to political news, for instance, this is even higher. Men's share of the voice is up to 7 times more. Could you explain why this happens?
Well, I think there are several reasons for that. So the first thing that people would cite would be, well, this is a reflection of society. There are more men in leadership positions. And that in itself is due to inherent biases and the patriarchal structure of society, where men are assumed to be better leaders, and perceptions where women's role is confined to the household and private sphere. But there are also, I think, inherent biases within newsrooms. So one is society in itself, and then in newsrooms, the choices that are made, So I think perhaps unintentionally or unconsciously, men may be considered more newsworthy, and the things that they do and say considered as more important. So a lot of times the usual go-to experts, that journalists have in their little black books are men. And unless there is an active culture to cultivate women experts as well, it is easy for journalists to just go with the status quo. So yes, there are challenges to ensuring that media coverage is more diverse, but ultimately it boils down to values. Do newsrooms want the news to be more diverse? Do editors and journalists believe that women should be more equally represented in the news? If they do, then instead of making excuses, they can examine whether they are contributing to the problem, and if so, what they can do to resolve it. I mean, ultimately, the media helps us understand the world that we live in and give context to our experience. And if you find that a lot of the news that you produce is only featuring men, then you have to question whether the news that you are producing is useful to society if it leaves out, you know, half of humanity.
So, Joanne, what does this mean when translated into the Malaysian media landscape? Is there enough work being done in Malaysia to ensure that we hear more female voices?
I think we are very similar to other to the countries in that report, where especially when it comes to politics and the economy, which are given a higher share of the coverage, of news coverage in our news, a lot of the experts also tend to be men. And, you know, and a lot of the stories about politicians, you know, about business leaders or government leaders tend also to be about men. And yes, we have more men in leadership positions. We have yet to achieve gender equality and parity. But it's not like there are no women leaders, politicians, business, sportspersons, economists or academicians, you know. I think more can be done certainly to cultivate, you know, sources, women sources, and produce more stories about women doing and saying things just like the men. I mean, when Kamala Harris won the vice presidency, you know, she said, "I may be the first woman in this office, but I won't be the last." Because every little girl watching tonight sees that this is a country of possibilities. So what are our Malaysian boys and girls seeing when they look at the news? You know, they must see that girls also can aspire to be leaders, politicians, opinion shapers, and that what women say and do count and matter as much as what men say. And we certainly shouldn't be faced with a media where we are constantly bombarded with images that where women only feature prominently if they are dead in a violent crime, or if they are placed there as eye candy, or seen exclusively as family figures.
I must say, it was only after, you know, I read this report that, you know, and actually began looking through the local headlines that it really became, that it became really stark to me how narrow the scope of women being featured in the news was. So among the suggestions made in the report to tackle this imbalance is for news organizations to specifically compile a list of female contributors and experts for journalists to use. So they also suggest that media outlets measure the proportion of their female voices featured in their coverage and set specific targets to increase them. Do you think this would be effective?
I think they would help for sure. There have been many such initiatives in other countries, such as Women Also Know Stuff. That's one of the lists, and Source List. And I think the list need to be accompanied with an awareness of the lack of women's voices in the news. So it's no point having a list, but then nobody uses the list. So in this regard, individual journalists can also play their part, because a lot of times it's the journalists who will find the sources for a story, and just being aware of the proportion of male and female sources in their story will help. And there may be challenges in the beginning. The current go-to list, as I said, may contain more men than women. But as more women are featured and are recognized for the things that they have to say, then hopefully this will create an ever-widening pool of women who journalists can turn to and be quoted in the media. I also think that women need to lean in a little and take up the opportunities to speak and comment on issues that they have expertise in. I think sometimes because of our male-dominated structures, we feel we have to know something 110% before we can speak about it, because perhaps we feel that society would be more judgmental, you know, if we slip up or we misspeak. But hey, you know, I've seen lots of men turn up half prepared for a panel discussion or an interview. So women, you know, I think if it's your subject matter, just do it and believe that we can.
That's great advice. But just to play devil's advocate, sometimes the pushback towards this is to say, well, journalism is just reflecting society. So how can we find voices to quote if those voices may not exist or women are underrepresented anyway? Do you think those are valid concerns?
I think at the end of the day, the newsroom, you know, has to ask themselves, do they want to perpetuate this culture where men dominate the decision-making positions and dominate the news and dominate our landscape? Or do you believe in a more gender equal world? If you do, then do you want to be part of the problem or do you want to be part of the solution? I think that women experts do exist. I'm not saying that perhaps in certain fields, maybe robotics, you know, or I don't know, certain fields, it may be more challenging to find women experts, granted, but I think that they definitely are out there. We have made a lot of progress in terms of gender equality in the last 25 years or 50 years even. And I think it's about making a concerted effort and working just a little bit harder and being just a little bit more aware about the kind of news that you are producing. So that we can reflect a more equal society and so that little girls can dream, you know, to be the vice president or the president, a leader of a country and not just a victim in a crime.
And when it comes to the newsroom itself, the report suggests a host of workplace initiatives to ensure gender parity. What are some of the policies or initiatives that you think need to be implemented here in Malaysia?
I think it certainly needs to start with awareness. People need to acknowledge that there is a problem before they can confront the problem. So gender equality training, gender sensitization training would be very helpful. To plug the Center for Independent Journalism, we are launching guidelines for gender reporting next year, and we would like to make that available to newsrooms. And ultimately, steps need to be taken to affect the whole production chain of news. So, you know, you need to know how many women are you hiring, from ownership to senior leadership to junior staff. And, you know, we need to look at our hiring practices. So we cannot run away from our biases. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I just hired the best candidate. But did you hire the best candidate or the candidate that you best clicked with, you know? And if in a male-dominated culture, it might be more... it might be just come easier to hire someone whom you can identify with. And there might be also certain stereotypes that might work against women, you know, looking to be promoted to higher leadership.
And how can we move towards equalizing the leadership of journalism here in Malaysia?
Well, this would be another long discussion, I think, about equalizing women leadership. In general, you know, in the whole of Malaysia, I think it comes down to, you know, stereotypes about, oh, you know, women, you know, are seen perhaps as having to tend to household chores and not being able to commit as much, or women perhaps seeing having to be, you know, not seen as too aggressive, and yet at the same time being seen as not. Not having enough leadership qualities, you know, because they are too soft. So there are these double whammies that women have to deal with. And society itself, which expects women to take care of the household, take care of the children, take care of elderly parents, while also pursuing a career, stands in the way. So we need a society that is more equal, a workplace that is more equal, that accepts and understands that taking care of a house and household chores and children and elderly parents should be a shared responsibility between men and women, and have workplace policies that reflect these understandings, as well as other things like putting in place sexual harassment policies, putting in place a complaints mechanism for sexual harassment to support, you know, women who have experienced sexual harassment in the workplace. And ultimately, also setting targets. I think until there is an established culture of gender equality, it is perfectly fine for newsrooms to set targets and to say we should have at least, you know, it seems so low, but even that we cannot achieve, to have at least 30% of women in the leadership positions, in the board of directors, you know, in senior management. And that would just be a start.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Joanne. That was Ding Joanne, advisor with the Center for Independent Journalism in Malaysia. So we mentioned some of the recommendations that the Missing Perspectives report gives to address this gender imbalance in journalism. But if you work in the field or are a media leader, it's well worth looking up the full report to look at the comprehensive recommendations they have outlined. So just a few I wanted to pick out when it comes to workplace initiatives. So the first one, as Joanne said, to ensure that your company has a comprehensive set of policies addressing gender equality, which covers elements like gender equality, gender bias in recruitment, parental leave, return to work, sexual harassment, childcare assistance, flexible working and training and development. The second one is organize pay audits to identify and tackle pay gaps. To consider a gender quota in both your hiring policies as well as your leadership until parity is achieved. And lastly, organizing periodical gender sensitivity sessions for both men and women at all levels of your organization.
Yes, and as for how media organizations can provide equal space for women in their news coverage, the report has some recommendations as well. So besides compiling a list of female experts, the report suggests that newsrooms make women's share of quoted voices match or exceed the share of women who hold master's degrees in your country. And it also, there's also an aim to increase women's voices and, I mean, you should, sorry, aim to increase women's voices and women protagonists, specifically in agenda setting beats like economy and politics. And they also suggest to use a qualitative approach when looking at the overall news coverage of women as well, to make the difference between portrayals as victims versus empowered individuals. And this in turn can lead to ensuring a fair proportion of empowered women in news to act as role models.
Yes. So earlier we posted on Twitter because we wanted to know what you think. What was the last Malaysian news story you recall reading or watching that was about or featured a woman? And we have one comment from Ahmad Supian. He said he gave a shout out to one Zaleha Radzi, who, you know, he says is really awesome and it's his first crush. And he's and back, you know, he said that, you know, back in the day, TV3 was the station to watch. And this presenter had it all. You know, she had brains, she had courage, she had beauty. And he also gives a mention to a news story or feature about Dr. Jamila of Mercy Malaysia. And, you know, this story about how she got shot in the behind, got it fixed and delivered a baby all at the same time. And he asked, yes, how many men can do that?
Dr. Jamila is awesome. And I think the two of you are too young to remember one Zaleha Radzi. But yes, she was, there was a whole bunch of them at that time, you know, all these very prominent women newscasters and, you know, presenting the news. Our own Frida Liu used to be a new TV presenter as well. And I guess, you know, it was a change. I don't know what it was like before, but it was an interesting change to have all these women presenting the news and to be that figure there, you know, teaching you things.
I guess here in BFM, we do have that, right? We have so many like leaders, female figures as leaders, you know, who are here to teach us, like usually it.
thank you. But I think, you know, our problem is quite the opposite. At one point, we had less men in the office. In our team, for example, thank goodness Dashrin has joined us. We were an all-female team. Not that there was a problem, but, you know, we love to have diversity and we're so grateful that you're here. But just looking at how you guys produce your stories, right? Do you think about ensuring that there are enough women's voices or representation?
I'll be honest, I never actually actively thought about it while, you know, I've been here for about 9 months now. While producing all these stories, I never actively think about that. Maybe because a lot of the stories that I do are about, let's say, social issues. And a lot of the activists and all that we do interview, a lot of them are women. But now that when you throw the question out there, I gave it some thought, and I think maybe in the realm of politics, I think there are not enough women experts. I didn't actually think about it because we have one very prominent one here, Bridget Welsh. You know, she's a woman. A lot of people like to feature her, but other than that, I can't really think of that many, you know, political analysts that are not. That are not men.
And I guess, like you said, Dash, it's probably a reflection of the realities on the ground, right? Because if I think back, like, for example, on health, you know, in certain ones, we we sort of circle back to the same few experts because those are the ones that, you know, we know are reliable. And then I guess in certain fields, you do see more men in the field rather than women. And so I guess in a way, like, you don't realize that you just gravitate towards who would be a better speaker. And then you don't realize that. And then after a while, when you think back, you realize that, you know, you tend to feature more men than women.
Yeah, this is a shameless self-plug, actually. But back in the day, I started producing a show called Feminist Fridays because I realized there was a gap in the stories that I was producing. You know, it wasn't stories about women, it wasn't stories featuring women, or we did it in a very ad hoc basis. So for a couple of years that series ran, and then we decided we should just do feminism all the time. Why restrict it to Fridays, right?
So every day
is, but you know, so that was something that was a conscious decision, because I took a look. I mean, I suppose that's when I was reading more and more about the lack of female representation in the news, or the lack of women in you know, featuring women's voices. So as experts, you know, as protagonists, not as victims, etc. So that was a learning point, a learning curve for me as well. And I guess, yeah, that's something that we actively try to do in our work. And I guess the benefits that I've seen from it is, I think we are very diverse in the people who we bring on our show. We try to be. We aim to be, even if we can't do it all the time.
And with them, they bring their own different diverse opinions and thoughts. And it makes the discussion a lot more engaging and lively. You know, you get different perspectives, and it's not always that one perspective from this particular group of people with the same background.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to also highlight an initiative called 50-50 Malaysia. I actually saw this recently on Twitter, and they aim to compile a database of female experts based in or covering Malaysia. So it's meant to be a resource for journalists, educators, policymakers, and the public as well. So it is still very new, but, you know, if you yourself are an expert in your field and a woman, they are welcoming people to get in touch. You can look them up on Twitter at 5050 Malaysia.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, it reminds me of this other website. We've constantly plugged it on this show. It's actually called Request a Woman in STEM. Or, I mean, the website is 500womenscientists, right? .org. And they basically have a very public-facing database of women scientists from around the world.
Including here in Malaysia.
Including here in Malaysia. And, you know, I guess because they found that in a lot of conferences, it was many mannels. And, you know, there was just people, I guess, gravitated towards male experts. Mm. So they are putting themselves out there as, you know, equal experts in with enough knowledge. So, yeah, check that website out if, you know, you're looking for researchers. It's 500womenscientists.org. And if you want to read the full Missing Perspectives of Women in News report, you can find it at iwmf.org/missing-perspectives. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you have any thoughts, you know, that you'd like to share with us, we can always read that. Tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. You can also look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and drop us a message there. If you miss any part of the show today, you can always download the podcast. Just head to bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Coming up at 3 p.m. though, on Live and Learn, I'll be sticking around and I'll be speaking to some young legal professionals about the challenges they face as young lawyers and lawyers-to-be. And they're also going to share more about their new portal called LawQuacks, indeed, which wants folks to better understand the law and the legal profession. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we're just going to leave you with some messages, but stay tuned and join us next Monday again, same time, same place, for the Daily Digest. This has been The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.